Next kinyan we're going to say, which I'm going to introduce, is kinyan lamed vav from mem dalet. I would imagine we're only going to stick with lamed vav. But this is the last block of kinos, of I guess the more classical kinos, before the more modern kinos that were put together regarding the Shoah. All of these kinos begin, with the exception of one, begin with the word Tzion. And there are all various descriptions of what Tzion is. The first kina, Lamed Vav, all of them are Tzion except for one. There's one kina that's put in the middle, kina Mem Aleph, that's Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh, which is talks about the destruction of Sfarim, of Gemaras, of the works of the Rambam in France. The rest of them all describe Tzion. The first one is written by Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who's one of the most famous authors, poets in Klal Yisrael's history. He was obviously most famously known for the Kuzari. And it's a kina that speaks about Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's longing and his desire to see and to touch and to feel and to tread upon the soil of Yushalayim, specifically the Imokam HaMikdash, and the pain of being so far away and the yearnings of those who want to be close to Tzion. Muhammad Zayin then continues. It's written by, again, all these are written in the 12th and 13th century. This one's written by a few different composers, one of them being the Ibn Ezra. Speaks about the grandeur of Eretz Yisrael, the vibrancy of the mundane in Eretz Yisrael, the overabundance of Torah and Mishpat in Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately the majesty of the Mikdash and the sorrow that goes with it when that is all taken away from us. And I thought to myself, when it goes through the description of all the beauty of the gold and the amazing things that we have in Eretz Yisrael, it brought to mind the description that Rav Shalom Gold has about the tomatoes of the Shuk of Machane Yehuda. And I'm not going to go through the story right now, but if you haven't heard him speak it about it or read about it, I urge you to look it up this afternoon. Specifically, I want to focus the rest of the kinos again through Lamed Ches, through Mem Daled. I'll discuss various aspects of Eretz Yisrael, various aspects of the Mikdash, and the barbarity of its tormentors, the unfortunate misguidance and distortion of power by its leaders, unfortunately leaders of Klal Yisrael in different periods of our history, and the continued besiegement for Tzion itself to cry out to Hashem and beg for its and ultimately our return to glory. I wanted to focus on two points of this section. One is, what is our perspective of Tzion? What exactly do we feel when we look at Tzion, and what is that? And secondly, ultimately, what exactly is Tzion? Tzion is mentioned well over 100 times in Nath, in the Vayim Ksuvim. And it refers to one of three things, really. Usually it refers to the Makom HaMikdash itself. It's usually referred to as opposed to Yerushalayim. It's a Makom HaMikdash itself. Other times it refers to Yerushalayim itself. And there is one reference in Nevi'im Ksuvim that refers actually to Klal Yisrael. It's the Lashon of Amit Tzion. Other times it refers to Bas Tzion. That's also a reference to Klal Yisrael. What exactly is Tzion? Rav Pinkas, in his explanation to Nachim, to the tefillah we'll add this afternoon to the Brach Yishalayim Ircha, states that Tzion is an adjective of Yishalayim itself. It's actually just like you'd say Ir Havira, the capital city. Tzion is kind of an adjective that goes with Yishalayim, and it references the Chibur Shemayim Va'aretz that is only found in Yishalayim. The connection is the Makom that where heaven and earth meet, and all the Shefa that comes from Shemayim meets up with the Tachtonim down here, the Olam HaTachtonim down here, and that is the connection point, and that's what Tzion refers to. We also know that Tzion is referred to many times through the Nevi'im Ksuvim in Chazal as more the Lashon of Tzion, as a marker. Hatzivi Lach Tzionim, we're told to, many times we're urged to create for ourselves markers and landmarks for ourselves to go back to, hearken back to. What exactly does a marker do? What was the point of such a thing? It's to take you back to the point from where you came. It grounds you in your foundation. It brings you back home when a person goes out on a journey and he has to find his way back home, so he sets up places for himself to return back to that place. Which brings us back to my first point that I want to discuss, which is perspective. Maybe Svi took a little of my thunder before, but I wanted to, today actually is, for my family, actually on the secular calendar, a bit of a landmark for ourselves. It's officially today, my family is no longer Olim Chadashim, we're now Olim Vatikin. 10 years ago today is the day that we, on the secular calendar, landed in Eretz Yisrael. As Rav Tashem will be able to celebrate next week on Tes Zayinov, which is when the real landmark is. I believe that also means the Rav has been here for 20 years, because I remember the first Shabbos I was here, the Rav was not here for Shabbos because he was celebrating his 10-year anniversary. Perhaps the Rav should celebrate by going to Har Bayis and Cheles. I remember the first year when I used to live down on Hayarkon, in an apartment that many of the families in this shul have lived in, or survived. And I used to walk down Nachal Luz, especially at night. And it was my first year here, and I used to gaze out sometimes. You get to the bottom of Luz, turning towards Hayarkon, so you could look out the hills and look out towards the Gush. This was before all the construction that is now dots the hills, and the hills were still pristine. And you can see the lights in the background, which at that point I didn't really realize were Arab villages. But nonetheless, I'd look out, and I'd say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was still hard for me to believe that entire first year that I lived in Eretz Yisrael, that we were here, that my family was here, that we were able to learn and to thrive and to grow in Eretz Yisrael. What an amazing bracha. And every night I'd look out and gaze out, at those hills and just look at Eretz Yisrael and feel thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were here. And it's just something that completely, consumed me and it was with me every single day. 10 years later, I live on Ayalon and I walk the block home from Shul, and I walk home from Shul at night and I'm thinking about, I pass my office, I'm thinking about my business, and I pass the Shul on my left and I think about what they added that day to the Shul. And maybe in the oven. And I pass around Island Park and hope that nothing too terrible is happening in the park, but I don't have those same thoughts. I can't say I have those same thoughts that I had my first year of thanks every single night to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we live here. And it's something, again, when you have the proper perspective and you look at things through the proper prism, you realize every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and you realize how much of a bracha it is that we're all here. How amazing it is after everything we've discussed, everything all the different speakers have discussed over the last 4 hours. We're here, we live in Eretz Yisrael, and how often do we thank Hashem for that? How often do we think about that? And it's something that, again, it's a matter of perspective. Another story that came to mind is something just happened last week, is we had the opportunity to hear a fascinating presentation, an amazing presentation about Har Habayis, something that's very much on our minds. And after the shiur, and I was thinking in the shiur, part of it was showing, the feeling of the presenter, that which seems to be pretty clear, that the Makom HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was under where nowadays the Dome of the Rock is. And there's pictures in there of what is inside the Dome of the Rock. And it's something that I, for whatever reason, had never seen before. And he's presented, this rock over here is the Eben HaShisiyah. And there's discussion of what the Eben HaShisiyah is and back and forth. And the whole time I was thinking to myself, the Eben HaShisiyah, yes, it's the place where the Aron rested. And it's the place where, when the Aron wasn't there, that the Ketoros was burned during the Avodah on Yom Kippur. But the Eben HaShisiyah is the foundation. That's the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yesh Me'anyan. And it should be the most amazing. It's not a rock. It's the place where it all happened. And I look at the pictures and I saw a rock. There's nothing there. All you see is a very bare, nondescript rock. This can't be the Eben HaShisiyah. This can't be the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began at all. It can't be the place that everything we have in this world and the Olam HaTachton came from. And I was a little disturbed by it. And we came upstairs in Davar Ma'ariv, and Baruch Hashem, one of the advantages that I have of davening the shul is I get to sit in front of the Hillel Horowitz and ask him all my questions. And I turned around to him and asked him, I said, how could it be that that's the Eben HaShisiyah? And he gave me the same answer that I'm speaking about now, that it's a matter of perspective. You can look at that rock and see a nondescript rock, or you can look at it and realize that it's, you know, infused with ruchnius, and that this actually is a source from where everything came from. And when we gaze upon Eretz Yisrael, when we look around us every day, we have the ability to either look at it as these are rocks and hills, and, you know, in the summer things are burned out and it's not, you know, it's dry and it's not as beautiful to look at as it is maybe in January, February. And we have the opportunity to look at those and realize this is not just gashmis. This is ruchnius, this is Eretz Yisrael, this is Kedusha. Every step that we take is filled and infused with Kedusha. And it's a matter of our perspective on how we try to look at these things. When it rains in the winter, do we fetch that it's raining outside and it's cold and we have to take out our umbrellas and our jackets? Or do we realize how much it's gishmei bracha? It's rain, it's allowing us to live, it's allowing us to fortify ourselves, to the land to grow. Rav Alperin spoke last night about visualization. And obviously it's much easier for us to learn and to appreciate things with visualization. But exactly what are we visualizing? Do we see a world that's kol gashmi again, or do we see something that's mundane, or do we see the inner beauty? Do we see the ruchnius? Do we see that the ruchnius is just waiting to be sprung from its physical confines? I think that, to bring it all together, Tzion, as Rupinka said, is the bridge between Shammai and Varis. Tzion is the marker that brings us back from the darkness of the Golus. Bezrat Hashem will bring us back to the Gula. And this is what we're crying out for in Tisha B'Av. What does Tzion really represent? It represents coming back to home. It represents, how do we look at things? Do we look at HaKadosh Baruch? Do we look at this world as a world that we're just trying to get through and as a portal? Do we look at these things as trying to constantly be an Eved Hashem and trying to serve Hashem? We're obviously in Golos because we've lost our way. And without anything, without a Mikdash, without Yerushalayim in its glory, in its true glory, we don't have a way back home. And I thought maybe this is why the one kapitel, one kina of Shali Srufa Ba'esh is thrown in with all these kinos about Tzion, because the one thing that we have to keep us close to Hashem, the one thing that we have to bridge us and to bring us back is the Torah. And without going through the story of why all this farm were burned, why 1,200 sets of volumes of Gemara, which were handwritten and toiled on for years in expense, were burned, why the Rambam Sfarim, where the Mar Nevuchim and the Yad HaChazak were burned publicly. Without that, we have nothing. Without the Torah, we have absolutely nothing. So we cry out with these last kinos to talk about Tzion, to talk about Hashem, our Avinu Malkeinu. We wish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring us back home to build the Mikdash, so we have that marker, we have that place, that physical place we can look at and say, oh, I'm a little bit lost right now, but this is where I have to go. I have to always be facing towards Eretz Yisrael. I have to be always facing towards Yerushalayim, and always focusing my thoughts towards Tzion, towards that marker, towards the proper perspective on who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And obviously, once we are able to look at that, we are able to, again, repeat the last pasuk of Eicha, and feel it, and understand this is the way back home, this is the journey that we're going to get back to Avinu Malkeinu. We say, we cry out to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yomeinu Kehekeh.